You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Ravens Weekly. My name is Matt Hall. Yeah, it's because you were mocking me prior to pressing the record button, mimicking my intros. So now I'm a little bit, I'm a little bit anxious now.
Go for it.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Ravens Weekly. Is that better?
That was a bit too much. BBC that, I think.
Okay. Hello, everyone. That's the one.
That's the one.
That's the intro. Yeah?
Yeah.
We're still recording, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay. Let's move on swiftly then. And look back at last week's podcast. It was a bit different, wasn't it? Something a bit different.
Yeah, Matt, it was a really, really good episode, I thought.
I quite enjoyed it, actually. Although it was a bit different. I'm not used to being the person who's being interviewed.
But you genuinely were stressed going into that.
I was thinking that
he was going to drop you in it.
I really did lose sleep over that.
Yeah.
I thought,
I know we joked about it, but
what could he possibly ask me?
Yeah.
I really didn't know. And I know he said he didn't write his questions down, but I know he was planning those questions. Yeah. He's been wanting to do that for weeks.
But to be fair, you don't really, you know, throw him a curveball, so
no, I don't often but yeah, it was really nice experience actually, and it's really lovely actually to know how my work is valued by Andy and his team. And I meant what I said. It's a privilege to work alongside them. Don't worry, it's a privilege to work alongside you as well. Don't want you to feel left out in all of this fanfare. But yeah, in all seriousness, it was nice to just chat about, you know, my experiences of the club. And just a big thank you to everyone who listened, and especially to those people who sent me a message or tweeted or whatever, as I had a few people that got in touch. So that was really nice. And yeah, thank you to everyone for your lovely comments. And yeah, a bit of an unusual one. I sat in the hot seat, not for our narrating part, as I call it, but actually for an interview, which was odd, but I enjoyed it. And again, thanks to everyone who listened, and it'll be your turn soon. So don't worry.
I'm in charge of this one.
I'll see what I can do. Well, you do have the key to the editing software, albeit I'm sure we can find a way to get you on there. I'm working on it, put it that way. The people want it, Josh.
No, they don't.
The people want to hear you. Well, anyway, we're going to move on from that one for now. Watch this space. Day after that podcast, or 2 days after that podcast, we welcomed Oldham Athletic to the Relocatum Community Stadium. And it seemed like just yesterday, Josh, that David Unsworth took charge of his first game at Bromley, which was a 3-0 defeat. Of course, the result replicated itself last Saturday, almost a year on from that result. And that was his final game in charge as Oldham manager. But from a Bromley perspective, which is what we're concerned about, a great performance on the day in front of a great crowd and a clean sheet.
Yeah, it was really good again for the second, third week running now, where we've put in a really good performance. But yeah, Oldham were under immense pressure going into that game. So I think that gave us that confidence to, you know, show what we're all about, and we did. And like you said, it was very similar to the game a year ago.
Josh Pasley opening the scoring with his first goal for Bromley before Sam Woods added his second goal in as many games. And a very similar finish. We're going to hear more about that a little bit later. Michael Cheat was denied by Matthew Hudson, the goalkeeper for Oldham, before Corey Whiteley put Bromley 3-0 up and actually had a goal disallowed in the first half. Our view from the press box that it was onside.
Yeah, I thought it was onside.
I thought it was a really odd decision. Yeah, we did. Yeah. Actually, Corey came back afterwards in the exec club and Broomfield's interviews and said he thought it was slightly offside on review of the footage. But yeah, anyway, it didn't matter as he scored his goal later on and he is in some form, Corey Whiteley. And it was just a great atmosphere, as it always is. We take the player into Broomfield's for an interview and they are just surrounded by children and young families and people wanting to chat to them and take photos and have things signed. And it's always really lovely to see. And the man of the match last week was Corey Whiteley. And I think Sam Woods pushed him very hard for that award. They were both fantastic on the day. But we'll hear more from Sam Woods a bit later on. But a victory for Bromley and another 3-0 against Oldham and that clean sheet something Andy Woodman was very, very pleased with indeed. It was a very good weekend all round, wasn't it, Josh? Because the on the same day, the under-21s had an 8-1 victory.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. They just can't stop scoring, can they?
No, it's going to be one of those years, I think. They're just brushing everyone aside. And yeah, another great result on Saturday. Obviously, our result here probably, you know, takes the spotlight from that day. But yeah, you've got to give Jamal and everyone there credit for, you know, another really, really good and comfortable result.
Absolutely. A big shout out to Jamel and the coaching team and all the players as well. They are putting in some great performances at the moment. You can get behind the team tomorrow night. That's Friday night, the 22nd of September, as they host Farnham Town here at the Relocatum Community Stadium. Kickoff 7:45 p.m. And you can get your tickets online for that one, bromleyfc.co.uk. Good luck to the team for that one. It didn't stop with the under-21s. The Bromley women won by 7-2 to 2 on Sunday. The goals are flowing.
Have you seen the goals?
I've seen some of them, Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
7-2.
I know.
Away from home as well. Mm. Well done to Steve, Dave, the coaches, and of course the brilliant squad who are doing so well this season. And Hannah Baptiste is one of those players. She's been called up to the Guyana women's team. Absolutely incredible. And that's the second international call-up, actually, yep, from the squad this season. They're being recognised, which is great to see.
Yeah, no, they've been doing really well this season. And obviously, it was their first season in the division last year. So this year, they're aiming for promotion, I think, Matt. I know they're second at the minute, but they played a game less as well. So, you know, you never know.
You can only beat what's put in front of you, and that is exactly what they're doing at the moment after, well, a great start to the season. By all accounts, they're smashing the goals in and they're not looking like they're showing any signs of stopping at all, which is really, really good.
Charlotte,
of course,
Lee, she's 3 hat-tricks in 3 games.
She's on fire. She's on absolute flames.
So I think she missed the, was it Bexhill 6-0? I think she missed that and still scored six goals in that one. But yeah,
well done to Charlotte.
Well, she scored 4 goals, didn't she? But
yeah,
the other day. But yeah.
Well done to her and the team. They are in some form, and credit goes out to each and every one of them. And of course, the management and coaching team as well, who are very dedicated and have been so for a number of years. So we wish them the very best of luck this coming Sunday. They're playing Montpellier Villa. Is that correct? Is that how you say it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, good luck to them against Montpellier Villa. And of course,
it sounds French.
It does sound, well, Montpellier is a French team, isn't it? Oh, yeah. So good luck to them. And of course, if you can come down and watch them, please do so. Moving on then. And Bromley travelled to a place I can only describe as not being a very happy hunting ground for them previously. I think it had been 31 years since Bromley had tasted victory against Dagenham and Redbridge, or one of their former names, as they've had many, at Victoria Road. Come Tuesday, come Bromley on the back of 4 wins and 7 games unbeaten, and that streak came to a very abrupt end. Backed by fantastic and very vocal support on the evening, it was a gritty performance from the team, but exactly what was needed in the circumstances. And it was Corey Whiteley who popped up with another goal, his 3rd of the season and 2nd in as many games, from a brilliant cross from Jude Arthurs. Again, his 2nd assist after coming on as a substitute in as many games. Both were for Corey Whiteley. And it was just delightful, wasn't it?
What a night.
And the support. Just, I've got to shout it out because I can't get it out of my head. Just the support, the noise they made from 7 o'clock right up until well after the full-time whistle was brilliant.
It was so good. And I think we were in the press box, weren't we? As soon as it was full-time, we just sort of just sat and watched. watched it all unfold, watched the players go over and the fans singing. It was such a good turnout, and I'm not going to lie, it's making me want to quit my duties on a match day and go join them.
Get behind the goal.
Yeah. I might do that Saturday.
I can't do it all myself, Josh. I can't take over all of your...
many talents.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Someone else there.
Well, I'm not sure talents is the word, but in all seriousness, the support has been fantastic. It always is, but this season I feel like it's even more vocal.
Yeah, I think so as well.
And even at the home games, you know, you've got that same group behind the goal. There was a massive group of them. Everyone was joining in with the chants and the songs on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And the players, it really was. I said it in the post-match interview with Andy, and we'll talk to Alan Dunn about it later. But the atmosphere after the away games and the home games, I feel is really unique and really special with the connection between the players, staff and the fans.
I think that's what it is. I think because we have had good away results, I'm trying to think, from beginning of last season, but like Aldershot, for example, winning 1-0 early on, it was sort of like, you know, we saw the win out and then, you know, happy days, you go home, everyone gets on with their, you know, rest of their weekend. But yeah, Tuesday night was a bit different. It did feel like we were, you know, playing in April or, you know, I said to you, it was a little bit like Maidstone away in the sense of everyone coming together and the celebrations at full time. It was just, you know, I know that we're now fourth in the league, aren't we? So the excitement's there. But yeah, no, it was really good.
Still very early days, but it was a great win. You know, the performance was gritty and determined. It wasn't pretty, but we got the job done. We got the result at a place where I've seen us lose 5-1, 4-1, 4-2, 3-0, 1-0, 2-1. You know, we've shipped a lot of goals at Victoria Road over the years, and the best I've seen us get is a late draw, Rico Hackett-Fairchild with the goal in the 90th minute live on BT Sport, I think 2019-20 season. And since then, we've not done anything. And the game's been over since half-time. You know, you've seen it in your time here as well. The game on both of those occasions was over at half-time. Mm-hmm. And we said it at half-time at Victoria Road, didn't we, that to get to half-time at 0-0 was an achievement just because of the boginess of facing Dagenham. But I feel like it's a good step taken now.
Yeah, I mean, last season was a little bit of a different one, wasn't it? I think we had a couple of injuries, a couple of suspensions, and it just didn't really work. I think we chucked Kellen in when he wasn't expected to play. Zach Bradshaw obviously got chucked in as well, and it just didn't work. And I think we were 3-0 down, weren't we, at half time. And
yeah.
I think this time round, completely different. Dagenham have got different players. We've got a much stronger squad than this time last year. And yeah, it was very good performance.
And Corey Whiteley scoring against his former club as well. He scored against Bromley at Victoria Road before, and now he scored for Bromley. What an important goal it was as well. Just before we move on to our first interview of the episode today, we've got to give a shout out to one Ollie Tanner, former academy scholar and academy graduate. He's a local lad. He's now playing his football for Cardiff City, and he scored some goal, didn't he? Live on Sky Sports for Cardiff City against Swansea City. It means a lot, that fixture. And Ollie Tanner with an absolutely superb strike. And I tell you what, Ollie is an absolute top lad, and is always very grateful for the support that he receives from Bromley fans, and he's still a local lad at heart as well. Just brilliant to see, isn't it? And you talk about Kellen, you talk about Ollie Tanner. These players are going on and doing well with their careers.
Yeah, and he won the penalty as well, didn't he, for the second goal.
Yes, so good point, yeah.
Massive involvement on Saturday. And like I said, he comes down to a few games since he's left, and I think a few Premier League clubs are keeping an eye on him as well. So, yeah, who knows? The future is bright for both of them, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And more to come. More to come as well. Yeah. There's so much talent here, as we always harp on and always talk about. Talking of talent, one of our summer signings who has really impressed everyone since coming into the side recently following an injury in the summer is one Sam Woods. We sat down with Sam to catch up on all things Bromley, all things Crystal Palace and his past career, and here's what went down. And now for our next guest of Ravens Weekly this week, we're delighted to be joined by Sam Woods. Sam, welcome to Ravens Weekly. It's the first time you've been in this room. Do you like our setup here? We always ask new players that.
Yeah, it's a very professional setup. Yeah, it's good.
Well, you heard it here first. Thank you for that, Sam. Let's talk in general terms first then about your time here so far. And then we'll get into the matches and further detail in due course. But you've been here for a few months now. How have you found settling in?
Yeah, it's been really good. I've really enjoyed it. I've obviously signed in the summer and had a full pre-season under my belt, which was good because I haven't had one of them for a couple of seasons, really. So, yeah, it was good. And then had an operation in the summer on my ankle. So I was just trying to get back to my match fitness and stuff like that. And, yeah, it's been good. And there's a good group of boys here. And, yeah, it's been really enjoyable.
I remember when you signed, I remember the day actually that you came in and signed, you were talking about your ankle and what you hoped would happen. Have you got back to fitness quicker than you thought you might have done? Because I know you were a little bit worried about it at the start.
Yeah, definitely. I think when I signed, I was in a boot. I think
you were.
I was in the boot. But yeah, the physio and everyone have been around, the fitness coaches, they've all been really good. And I'm definitely back fitter than I thought I was going to be. And yeah, it's just all been... it's all been good so far.
And how was pre-season for you? Because obviously you were carrying that injury and pre-season here, as you will have seen, is a very grueling process. Norman Park next door is used quite a lot as well for the runs. How was the whole experience for you in terms of also having to deal with that injury?
Very tough. If I'm being honest, I was probably towards the back. Like obviously I couldn't do much in the off season because I had the operation. And I think... I'm the first one to say I was probably struggling behind some of the other boys. So I had to do extras and doing double sessions, triple sessions with Tom, obviously the fitness coach. And yeah, I'm glad that I did them because I needed them. So when the season started, if I was ready to come in, and yeah, it was really tough, but enjoyable at the same time.
And looking back on your previous couple of years of your football, you spent that at Barnet and you had a short loan spell as well. How would you assess that time of your career before you came here?
It was good. I would say it's like probably my first introduction to proper men's football. So when I was at Palace, I went on loan to Plymouth and Hamilton Academical, but I would probably say I was still quite young and still learning. And then when I went to Barnet, that was like my first proper experience of Saturday, Tuesday. And I had a good time there. The first season was a bit of a struggle. And then obviously last year we done well, we got in the playoffs and, it was enjoyable and I had a good time there.
And obviously you were at Barnet last season. How do you assess playing in the National League?
It's tough. There's like no easy games. It's relentless, like every Saturday, Tuesday, normally, especially in the winter months. And you just got to make sure you're like physically ready. And it's also mental as well, getting ready for a next game. Like if you've got a loss, and a game's coming in maybe 2 or 3 days, so you haven't got time to think about it, you've just got to get on with the next one. And likewise, when you're winning, you want to try and keep that winning habit going. And yeah, winning is a habit. So when you've got a few wins under your belt, the confidence is going, you just want to keep it going as long as you can.
Well, to be fair, you're making it look quite easy. And you've scored a couple of goals in our past few games. How has that been for you to, you know, get on the score sheet a couple of times, celebrate in front of the fans?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, that's definitely been a personal target of mine this year, is to get more goals. I've maybe averaged one a season, and we've spoke with the coaches, like one-on-one targets for the next couple months, like short-term and longer-term targets. And getting more goals for me is definitely a target of mine. I won't say what target I've got in my mind because I don't want to put pressure on it, but I've got a little number in my head and hopefully I can reach it this year.
And obviously we lost Billy Bingham about a month ago. Has that sort of opened the door wider for you to, you know, get in there and show what you can do?
Definitely. I think Billy was really good when he sat next to me in the change room and like got on well with Billy. And he helped welcome me in quite well. And yeah, it was obviously, I know he was a big player for Bromley, so it was a big loss. And I'd say maybe I felt a little bit of pressure like coming in because obviously I know the fans loved him and he was like a big part player for that last couple of seasons. But like that kind of pressure just made me want to make sure that I hit the ground running. Didn't want to let the fans down, didn't want to let the players down. When you come into a team, you don't want to like let it down, obviously, like the tactic or whatever. So yeah, I've just come in, just tried to do my best and yeah, that's all I can really do.
And what have you made of playing in front of the fans so far? Obviously they made a lot of noise on Tuesday night. How have you enjoyed that?
Yeah, it's been really good. I mean, home games as well, obviously good atmosphere. I think Southend, there was quite a few fans, and yeah, Tuesday night was probably the best away one we've had so far. It was a good following, and like you heard the noise when we score, and yeah, they kept us going right till the end because it was got a bit tough at times, but yeah, it was good to have the fans there.
You came in for your first start of the season, having recovered from that injury, as we said, away to Rochdale, and you haven't really looked back since then. Six games, and you've been in phenomenal form. You look like you're really enjoying yourself out there.
Yeah, no, I do. I think every time you step on the pitch, you've got to enjoy it. That's the main thing. And yeah, like obviously when you're playing well in a team that's winning, you enjoy it more. And yeah, long may it continue.
And we talked with Alan Dunn, we've talked with Andy Woodman about the first couple of games being a bit tough and you know, results obviously not being what we wanted. The form since then has just risen so incredibly. What do you put that down to? What's the mood like amongst the players at the moment?
I just think at the start of the season, we had two tough fixtures really. Halifax away is a tough start, and then obviously Barnet were flying last year. So yeah, I think it was a tough start, and then we've had like a lot of new players come in, a lot of players went. So I think just takes a couple of games, just even like getting used to different players, characters, how they play, then relationships on the pitch. And I think now you can see that we're starting to look more like a team, and everyone's like learning how each other plays and stuff. And I think that's a big factor.
And how are you finding your role in that midfield at the moment? I've been watching Bromley for quite some years now, and I haven't really seen a player before offer what you've brought to the team. I think it's something we've been missing for a long time. How are you finding it?
Yeah, good. I mean, I like to just sit in front of the back three, just try and like mop up anything, and just try and play forward as quick as I can, give it to the forward players. And yeah, I just try to like play forward as much as I can, drive forward with the ball and be competitive, put the tackles in. And yeah, that's how I describe my play style.
Well, the fans absolutely love it. And one of them said, he's very good at doing the ugly stuff very well. Do you take that as a compliment?
Definitely, yeah. I'll take that as a compliment. I'll take any compliment. Yeah, no, that's... I think that sums it up, really. I'm like, just kind of... like, when we win 1-0, I'll buzz off that more than when we win 3 or 4-0, because it's like, them tough ones, them tough... when it gets tough and you have to like put your body on the line, then yeah, that's when I'm enjoying it.
You scored 2 goals in a week here at Hayes Lane. Both really similar goals from virtually the same position, which is brilliant as well. And it just adds to the performances that you brought to the team as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're poacher's instinct goals, really, aren't they? Like tap-ins from set pieces. But I just try and gamble where the ball's going to land and then get myself there. And if it does come in, then I'll get a goal.
And what's it like for you? Obviously, we've had a busy transfer window. Obviously, it's come to a close now, but... as a player, when you see the likes of Tate Campbell come in, Alex Kirk, does that push you even more to do well?
Definitely, I think so. I mean, you've got to have competition. That's healthy. And it's kind of like once you've got the shirt, you want to make sure you keep it. And I think every team has to have competition to be successful. And them boys are training well. And yeah, I'm sure they'll get their chance when the time comes.
And who are you getting on well with the most out of the camp?
I think we're all a really close-knit squad, to be honest. I think there's no one... we're a really tight-knit group. And I'd say, obviously, Adam Marriott, I knew from Barnet. He obviously close with him. But yeah, no, I think everyone else is just all tight-knit. And yeah, it's a good group.
And with the fixtures coming up, which one are you looking forward to the most?
I think we've got a big game Saturday. Solihull, that would be a... big one. I think they're unbeaten since the start, and obviously we're unbeaten in 8, so one of the teams are going to be upset, but hopefully it'll be them, not us.
Let's talk about your journey into football as a kid. What made you start kicking a ball? What was it that made you want to get involved?
I think I've just played football my whole life, really. I don't remember a time when I didn't. I started off with Sunday League, I think, like most guys. I play for Selsdon Juniors, which is obviously a local team where I used to grow up. And then I signed for Palace at 12 and then came up through the academy there. And then, yeah, that's basically how I come up.
And how would you assess your time at Crystal Palace? We've seen you play here against Bromley a few times over the years at Crystal Palace. How would you assess your time there and what you learned from it? I guess playing around some fantastic footballers as well.
Yeah, I mean... I've seen the club grow massively. Like when I first joined, they were maybe a championship, like mid championship team. And then every year they've like developed. And I mean, even since I've left now, I've seen the training ground and it looks unbelievable. And yeah, the club will definitely be growing and it's going places.
And talking of local clubs, Crystal Palace are one of your local clubs, and Bromley is one of your local clubs as well. You're from around the area. So what does it mean now to be playing for your local team?
Definitely. I think it adds that that little bit of pressure, which is good. I mean, I've got loads of friends and family that come to the games and they're always messaging me and like trying to speak to me after the games and stuff. And it's good. I mean, I used to come to Bromley games when there wasn't a Palace game on the weekend and I didn't have a game. I used to come down to Bromley and watch it with my dad. So yeah, no, it's good. It feels like just feels right. It feels good at the moment. So yeah, I'm enjoying it.
And talking about seeing you play before as well, we've seen you play as a centre-back and now we're seeing you play in that midfield role. Do you like playing in the two of them? Do you have a preference?
I wouldn't have a preference. No, I enjoy both of them. I think I can play both well. And I think maybe more comfortable in midfield at the moment just because I played a lot there for Barnet last year. So that's probably what I'd say. But I'm just like, I'm happy to play anywhere for the team and give my all.
And the other day you were named in the National League Team of the Week. I know everyone here, all the players are really feet on the ground, but that must have been nice for you to get that recognition.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice to be recognised for your hard work and performances, but it's I'd say it's only a little kind of incentive at the moment. I want to push on and get more of them and more wins. And the main goal is obviously to get promoted out of this league.
On a fantastic run of form at the moment. And I guess the pressure's on to kind of carry that forward as much as possible. As you mentioned, with a really tough game at hand on Saturday and more tough fixtures coming up, two home games next week. So lots of football to be played.
Yeah, lots of football to be played. And I'm sure there's going to be bumps in the road. And it's about how we recover and how we react. That's the main thing. And I'm sure with the support of the fans and the team we've got and the squad, we'll be good.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on here, Sam. I think we're
thank you, Sam,
there.
For your
cheers,
time.
Guys. Thank you.
Yeah, keep it up. We're enjoying watching you.
Thank you. Yeah, no, cool. I'm enjoying it. Thank you.
Well, thank you to Sam for that. It was great to sit down and catch up with him. He's very humble, very feet on the ground, but he's playing some brilliant football at the minute and chipping in with those goals as well. Has been most helpful to the team. Well done to Sam, and long may those performances continue. Well, they'll need to continue, Josh, I should say, as we are playing second in the league and the only unbeaten side left in the division, Solihull Moors, this coming Saturday, the 23rd of September. We make the trip to just south of Birmingham, isn't it? And hopefully backed by good support as well. But it's going to be a tough game. They're playing very, very good football this season. And like I said, they're unbeaten.
Yeah, I mean, if we win Saturday, you know, that's a huge boost for us. But Solihull's a difficult place to go to anyway, I think. Obviously, last season, you know, I think the least said about that, the better. But the season before that as well. What happened the season before that? Oh, lost 3-0, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then I remember we went a few years ago, lost 2-1. I think Alfie Doughty scored, didn't he?
I think I've only seen us win there once.
Yeah.
A bit like that. From memory. So, yeah.
You know, you just have to rewrite history again.
Or maybe I've seen us win there twice. I'm going to have to look into that. That's going to bug me now. But yeah. They are second in the table, 4 points ahead of Bromley on 22 points. They have not conceded many goals at all. And they've just come back. They're coming to this one, off the back of a 2-1 win against AFC Fylde and some really good results recently. They beat Kidderminster Harrier live on Kidderminster Harrier's live on TNT Sports. And that was Kidderminster's first home defeat of the season. And they've got players in brilliant form, Josh Kelly being one of those as well. So it's sure to be a tough game. It's a tough place to go anyway. But who knows, Josh? It's the unbeaten side in the division coming up against the form side in the division. One thing that's guaranteed, surely, is a good game of football.
Yeah, and it's a weird one, I think, because in the summer they had that managerial change, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Andrew Wing, the manager now. Yeah. And Stephen Ward, as director of football. I was trying to think of his
good
name
knowledge.
There. Stephen Ward in as director of football.
So it was Neil Ardley, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And he's now, of course, just taken over at York City.
Yeah, so I thought, obviously, Neil's a really good manager. And when he left, I, you know, thought Solihull would struggle a little bit. And I think after that, you don't know if the likes of Josh Kelly were going to stay and whatever, but they have. And, you know, they've just gone strength to strength. And they're in the playoff final, weren't they, a couple of years ago, so they'll be looking to replicate that this year.
Absolutely, they will. And we look forward to that fixture. If you can't make it, we will be there bringing you commentary live on Bromley FC Live over on Mixlr. And we will also be on Bromley Radio as well. But if you can make it, details are available on the website, bromleyfc.co.uk. And we do hope you can get on down there and back the boys and make some noise, which is exactly what you did on Tuesday to such good effect. It makes a difference. It really, really does. But anyway, we are looking forward to that one and we hope you are too. Someone else who's looking forward to it is assistant manager Alan Dunn, who doesn't often do media appearances, but we spoke to him today and he was more than happy to come on, and we really appreciate Alan Dunn's time. And here's what he had to say. Alan Dunn, welcome to Ravens Weekly. It's been a while. Is it your first time on this new setup here?
Yeah, it's brand new for me. Looking forward to it, enjoying it. The manager's away, so I've had to step in. Not for the first time this season, but yeah, I'm stepping up to it.
Brilliant to see you, Dunny, and thanks for your time. I just wanted to touch on, obviously, the season so far. The first couple of games, a bit difficult for various reasons, lots of players missing. Players have now come back in. There's a lot of competition for places, and it looks like confidence is at a real high at the moment.
Yeah, we're not getting carried away. We've still got work to do. We're in good form at the moment, good momentum. But like you said, the first couple of games of the season, we did have injuries and we hadn't quite found our groove. Of late, we've got competition for places, which does breed performance. We're in a good place at the moment. Like you said, we ain't getting carried away. Still got work to do. It's a long season, but our away record is good. Unbeaten now, I think, in 8 games, so 5 wins. But we can keep on improving, and that's what we want to be doing.
And just touching on those last 2 wins, something which you as a defender for your whole career really prided yourself on was clean sheets, and that's come along in the past 2 games. How important is that?
Clean sheets is a must. We always say zeros and ones to win any football game. You give yourself a chance. We pride ourselves on clean sheets, but it's not only a keeper or a back 5 that keeps a clean sheet. We work on structure. We work on shape. The discipline of the shape is important as a team. We work on out of possession. If you get the out of possession right, we believe the in possession will take care of itself. So we spend a lot of time and detail on that. And you get your rewards from the clean sheet, which is a group thing. And it's a big part of what our armoury this year is clean sheets.
Talking of the defence and talking of Chinakoli, who is coming through at Millwall as well, as you did yourself, just how much has he improved since he walked through the door?
Yeah, obviously he's someone we watched a lot last year. And stepping into the men's game and real football, it can be a difficult jump. But we've had to work with him, and again, he's coming into this standard of football in this league where it is ex-players. He's had to get up to speed of that. But we've worked with him, and like you said, he has improved game on game. He's getting better. He's got Webby alongside him who helps him, Callum, which will give him experience and help him. And he's learning and he's getting better and growing into the game, and confidence is a big thing. He's going in the right direction, Chin.
You and Andy and the management team and Steve Harris as well in particular, really keen about giving chances to young players. We've seen obviously the likes of Liam Vincent in your time here, Kellen Fisher as well. The next one coming through now is Ben Crailhouse, and he's just been in sensational form this season. What do you put that down to, the fact that these young players come in and almost straight away that they're looking like men's footballers? They're looking like experienced players at the ages of 17, 18, 19 even.
Yeah, well, Ben's one is had to be patient. He's had to wait his time. We ain't afraid to play players, but it has to be the right time, and it's all about timing. Ben's been patient. I think what helps them is training with us, and it accelerates their development quicker. At a young age, they do come over, and every day we try and involve some of the youngsters with us as much as possible, and it accelerates the development to improve. But we'll only play them if they're good enough, and they've shown and demonstrated. Ben this year, he's shown a maturity in his game. He's shown a resilience in his game. And like we say, ability sometimes is a secondary. It's what you like out of position, how you react to mistakes, how you react to bumps in the road. They're the sort of traits with the young boys where we're looking for, that because when they come into the first team, it ain't always like sunshine and winds. It ain't like that. There is some tough days. So we look for that in a player. We try to build that into him, the DNA of us, the DNA of the club. And Ben's shown that this season. He's shown resilience. He's shown he can have bumps in the roads and work through that in his game. So he's really matured in his performance and his way of playing.
looking at the squad depth as well, which has increased massively since the start of the season, there's a lot of competition for places now, aren't there? And there must be some players that are a little bit frustrated. They're not getting in the team through no fault of their own. You know, this is looking at the players that are in the team at the moment and making it impossible for anyone else to get in. How do you manage that situation?
From my experience, all the successful teams I played in, there was competition. I was a right back, and at Millwall, there was three or four right backs brought in. It was just to keep competition, to make the players. It's all about percentages and margins. Having two teams of 10, but we could play either team, it does show depth in squad. Players have got to be patient, but it does push the players in front of them because it is game by game. You're working each game to get results, obviously. So it's helped us this year to have a stronger squad in depth, and not only players that come in can do a job, players that can come in and keep the shirt. We have that this year in abundance. So I think that's credit to the chairman and the manager who supported that, and it does help. End of the season, it might be the difference in 5, 6 to 8, 10 points might be the difference.
And talking about something that's changed this season and something that's been discussed internally as well is the additional time at the end of games and at halftime. We had 1 minute on a halftime on Tuesday, which I never thought I'd see again, if I'm being honest. It's always 7, 8, 9 minutes now. And I think it's been worked out, hasn't it, that these players are going to be playing 8 to 10 games extra per season, which makes that big squad or larger squad all the more important.
Yeah, that's important. There is the game we had a ref in the other day. The ball's only actually in play 45, 50 minutes over a game of football anyway, when you think of it like that. But it does. There is extra time added. We know that we are trying to adjust how we play. Benefited for that. The ball's in play a lot more time, so squad in depth will be needed over the course of a season. Of course, it will. But we got fit boys. We got fit boys in this club. It's one thing that we have got is we train with intensity. The boys we've got here are young. They're fit. And I don't think it will affect us in with our energy and our team over the course of a season.
Talking about the confidence at the minute, obviously high with a brilliant run. And when you're on these kind of runs, it's important to keep feet on the ground. How do you do that?
Yeah, like we said, a meeting this morning, we can improve. We don't just take it for granted each game. We can improve. We look at, evaluate each game. We debrief each game where we can improve. How can we get better? And there's always areas to get better as a team. And but I think the boys are focused. The mentality of the group is strong. We've got experience in there to help and guide. We take each game as it comes. We have targets and blocks, and we take each game and don't get carried away. If we win a game, we don't get too high. And it's a saying, if we lose a game, we don't get too down. It's about building momentum and consistency in our performances.
And just talking about the fans now as well, you have played in some brilliant atmospheres across your career at the Den and various other places. The fans are really taking that step up this season, haven't they, to create that atmosphere for the players. And I'm looking at Tuesday night, for example, the group, the sizeable group that was there making noise from when the players were warming up right until about 10-15 minutes after the full-time whistle. That was a really nice scene at the end of the game there with everyone celebrating together.
It seems to be getting louder and louder each week, like every game. And it's one of the first things we speak about when we come in as the staff after the game was how good were the fans, how good was that? That after the game, that emotion, that connection between the players and the fans, it is strong. I had it at Millwall, it's strong. It does help the players knowing they got the support behind them. And then afterwards, the joys of togetherness. It's a big, big strength and a big thing for us. And it is a saying like a 12th man. It helps the players immensely. And Tuesday night, credit to them that they come and supported us in the numbers, the noise after the game. It's great and great for the club.
And you will have seen in your several years here now, I remember the day that you signed, actually, just how far we've come in every sense of the word. And talking about the fans as well, Bromley are now becoming, and have been becoming over the past couple of years, people's team, not their second team after a Premier League team. People are following Bromley full time, if you like.
Indeed, yeah. Everyone you speak to and you walk around the shopping centre and everyone speaks about Bromley, how well we're doing. The club's moving forward. And each year we want to be sort of striving not to be stand still, but keep moving forward as a club, keep trying to improve the infrastructure, the fan base. It's growing and Bromley's growing and people are speaking about Bromley, how well they're doing, the young players. And it's great that we're getting that recognition for a little club when I was first come here to now a club that's going to beat Oldham, and that's a normal conversation.
And talking of that as well, since you signed, you know, you look back on those years and there's been several moments that you can pick out where we've really achieved something. And on and off the pitch, I think it's fair to say, from yourself, how do you assess the progress that's been made there? It's considerable.
It's consistent, yeah. It's consistent with like I said, a mix of young players and obviously Kellen was gone, which was a big thing for the club. And we're always trying to create new history. Since Woody's been here and I've been assistant, we have created history. And each year we're trying to better that. And last year we finished one game from Wembley for a playoff final. This year our target's to try and get into that home draw and get into that playoff final, if not go up automatic. So we have ambitions and we have history we want to create for the club. And every year we're trying to strive to better that. And that's what we are as a club.
And just before we finish, Saturday is another tough trip. We've had some already. Saturday will be tough. Solihull side, who started the season really well and currently second in the table. But of course, us going up there is the form division in the side at the moment.
Yeah, two teams. Look, Solihull are a team that haven't been beaten this year. They are a team that have got the best defensive record in the league. I think 9 goals they've conceded. Both teams have had 18 points from 8 games. Us, 18 points from 8 games, so are them. But they're the team to beat at the moment because no one's beat them. But we are also the informed team. 5 wins, 3 draws. We have our strengths. They have a similar sort of set-up, 3-4-3, if you like. They got players that can hurt you. Josh Kelly, they brought a few players in over the summer. A new manager in there. They got a little bit of swagger and they're in good form. So, but we'll go to with a game plan. We'll be disciplined in our game plan. But it looks for an exciting game because both teams are currently both teams in form.
Alan Dunn, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear from you.
Cheers, guys.
Well, it was really great to hear from Dunny there. And I really enjoyed that interview. And he just really does speak very honestly, just like Andy speaks very honestly and very openly. And his tactical knowledge is second to none. He really is. He sits in there. He's very meticulous about the details and every single little detail matters so much to him. And that's why he's such an important part of Andy Woodman's team.
They do offer
team.
A lot of different aspects. And I know in this room that we're sat in now, this is directly next to where they do, you know, their analyst meetings and stuff. And I think, you know, Andy's the manager, so he's obviously managing everyone. He's the, you know, he's more personable. He's sort of, you know, the motivator. But honestly, listening to those talks in there, Dunny is, he knows his stuff.
He certainly does.
And, honestly.
And you'd expect him to after over 400 games for Millwall, you know, many of which were as captain at various levels of the English Football League. You know, and he's a figure that is loved, isn't he? We were just talking about it just now. He's a figure that is idolised by Millwall supporters. And he kind of keeps himself out of the limelight here, which I really respect and admire. But he's such an important part of what goes on behind the scenes, as you've been saying there, and a very, very good coach as well. So thank you to Dunny for your time there. It was great to have him on the podcast. Now it's time for Community Corner. Apologies for the slight delay there, but we have our jingle back.
We're getting quicker.
We have our jingle back, which was better than the ones that we sampled last week. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, I don't know what I've done, but I must have done something right. What's going on now?
Just seeing what we've got.
That's the same one again.
Yeah, I think we need to update those buttons, Matt.
Why?
Just we need some new tunes.
We've been requesting new jingles for weeks and we've had nothing. Is there a tumbleweed one? No, hang on. This is what we've had. Hang on. Bear with me. Josh is going to fill the void here.
Hello, I'm filling the void.
That's what we've had.
That's the one. Yeah.
That is all we've had.
It's still going.
And it's still going.
I hasn't figured out how to press the stop button yet.
It's quite... No, I haven't actually. I just like to let it go. Let it run its course, shall we say. But anyway, in all seriousness, Community Corner this week. We have our October soccer camp coming up. So if you would like your child to be involved, you can visit our website, bromleyfc.org, to book their place. And they are filling up fast, so make sure you get your child booked in. It's sure to be a very fun-filled 2 weeks of football activities here at the Relocating Community Stadium. And If you're listening to this on Thursday night, we are in the Glade Shopping Centre tomorrow. That's Friday, the 22nd of September, between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. Do come along and say hello. We'll be in there showcasing what we do and chatting to people about all of our community activities and what goes on here, because there is so much that maybe doesn't meet the eye all the time. And yeah, I think it's well worth coming and having a chat to us and saying hello. Short community corner for you this week, but all of our activities and other offerings are available on our website, bromleyfc.org, and you can book onto our activities through our Class for Kids booking system. And don't forget, it's not just kids we have activities for. We've got our Ravens chat for the over 50s every Thursday from 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. Our Sporting Memories for people with dementia and their carers and families every other Wednesday between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. And our veteran support. So if you are a former military personnel or a veteran, you can come along to those, and they run once every month, usually the last Friday of the month. And of course, this month's one is next Friday, the 29th of September, again between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. And that's a little wrap of what we've got going on in the Community Trust at the moment, alongside all of the day-to-day busyness and everything that goes on. So hopefully some people listening will find those of interest, and will come along for some of them as well. Now, we always say this is our favourite bit of the podcast. It's the constant and the consistent element of the podcast. Over to you.
Matt, it's our favourite part of Ravens Weekly, right here.
Right now.
Right now. We are joined by Roy Oliver.
For our weekly jump into the time machine.
That's a good one. I quite like that one, Matt.
You like that one,
yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah. That was good.
I definitely want to get a time machine.
Can we work on that one together, Roy? Because yes. I quite like one of them as well.
Yeah, I'd like to go back to 1894, the Kent Junior Cup.
So you can get your squad photo.
Yeah, and, yeah, and 1911, all the big events.
Do you know what? That's a weird one, because I was thinking the exact same.
Yeah.
I want to go back to that day.
Yeah, and 1949.
Why do you want to go back to that date, Roy? Josh?
Just because I... sounds like a because, good day to go back look, to.
Because Roy said it, and Roy is cool. Exactly, so you're conforming to peer pressure.
I'll be there.
Basically.
No, he's getting conditioned into being a Bromley historian.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, you can't not sit in with this man.
Do you know what? I feel like Marty McFly now.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah. That was one of my boys' favourite programmes, Back to the Fusion trilogies and all that.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, brilliant.
Roy, yeah. Before we get onto the historical element, you were at Bromley's 1-0 win over Dagenham on Tuesday, and of course the win over Oldham as well. That's five wins on the spin. What are your thoughts on the team at the moment?
Yeah, well, actually, I did predict that this would be David Unworth's last game, because I just thought, well, his first game was against Bromley, we won 3-0, so it'd be apt. And when we won 3-0, I thought, he's on his way. And they weren't going to let that carry on. How long do you it carry on? You know, one win in 9 or one win in 10, it's got to stop, isn't it? So, I wasn't surprised when he got the bullet, but a very good win against Oldham. Team played very well, and you can see that they were low on confidence, and we were high on confidence. And confidence is a big thing in football, in any sport. You know, if you're confident, then you generally play well and do well. And then Dagenham, well, we haven't had much trouble at the green over at Dagenham over the years.
Is it 31 years since we won there
something
previously?
Something like that, yeah. I remember going over there when it was just called Dagenham Football Club, not Dagenham Redbridge.
It's had a very different names over the years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, yeah. So, we played very, very well. I thought first 20 minutes, I thought we were going to blow them away. But then they started to get round the back of us a little bit and causing us one or two problems. But I think we were worthy winners in the end. And what a great goal by Corey.
Yeah, so we got, header. He didn't usually score headers.
We've got to find out when was the last time Corey scored with his head.
Yeah. That's a very good question. And also, Jude Arthur's coming on and supplying him again with one of his first touches. Two games in a row.
Yes. Jude, he's quite unlucky to be out the side at the moment, but as... Andy Keats aligned to, is a squad game. So when players can come off the bench and affect play, and I think him and Fennings are a bit unlucky, and of course the two new players haven't really had a chance to get into the side yet. So So when you've got a winning side, you can't keep changing it.
No, very true, Roy. Yeah. Very true. And we now look forward to Saturday away at Solihull. You'll be there, won't you?
Of course, I will be there. Yeah,
looking forward to it very much so.
Yeah.
Now onto the, as I said, weekly jump into the time machine of Roy Oliver. What have we got this week? We're going back to 1938, are we?
We're going back to 1938, and it was the Amateur Cup win at Millwall against, it was only All Kent Cup final against Irvinville there, who were then a very big club at their own ground as well in Erith. I think it was in Belvedere more than Erith. But yeah, I've actually got the old programme who I got from the late George Brown. Because what happened was we went to Slough one night and it had the late George Brown. And I asked the official, I said, well, when I saw him this morning, he was very much alive. So I said, has he died since? Anyway, I got George a programme. When next day I went, took it in. I said, oh, George, you're, I mean, it'd be 6 foot under, mate. So he said, can I have it? He said, I said, yeah, of course, I bought it back for you. He said, I've got quite a few programs before I'm dead. So, and he kept every program from 1936, every game that he played in. And that was not only the football club, but Kent matches, Athenian, Ishmael League, Southern Counties, amateur internationals as well.
Wow.
So, and this game was played on the 23rd of February, 1938. And the attendance was 33,346. And the gate was...
Are you sure there's not one too many threes on the start of that? Yeah. 33,000.
33,346.
Incredible.
You'd be lucky to get that in the mid-table of the Premier League.
Yeah. They played the semi-final against Barnet at Dulwich and it was 16,500 there.
Oh, just these attendances that you tell us about, Roy, is incredible.
I know,
Was there a baby boom or something? Everyone's just...
I don't know.
A population.
It's just, you just got to think that in them days there was no TV.
Yeah, true.
There was the theatre, the cinema, and a football club was a big focal point of every town. So if you look at every club back in them days, they all had bigger gates than what they get now. So the gate receipts were £2,237. So they shared that and some went to the FA to distribute to other clubs. The game was on the radio, the second half of it, live, and it was done by Mr. F.N.S. Creek, a former Corinthian and amateur international. So when they won the cup at the end of the game, and it said the defences take the honours, both defences were on top, they came back to Bromley and they got outside the United Service Club. Do you know where that is?
No.
It's, you know where Swan Hill is, and you've got the courthouse. It's just a bit further from there on the left-hand side. And the bus pulled up there and they put ropes to it, so they pulled it around the town on ropes. And I've got pictures here of the players on top of the bus. So they were on top of the bus and they were being pulled around the town on ropes.
Wow.
And, of course, they had a massive civic reception. And they had special trains up there from Bromley South and Bromley North. And, of course, they had coaches as well going up to Millwall's ground, which is the old ground. And they had a band in front of the bus playing as they came down. Wow. Yeah, so...
Quite the fanfare.
It was, yes. I mean... The Amateur Cup was like, you know, it's like the FA Trophy now. When we won that, you know, I mean, when we had that parade up Bromley, it was phenomenal how many people turned out, wasn't it?
It was. Bit of an emotional one, that, going over the little hill, seeing everyone there.
And now it was the council getting involved and saying, yeah, come on,
you can do it. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And you said as well there was a correlation of the cup finals that Bromley were in with the scoreline and the number of the shirt that the player wore.
Yes, so Bromley won all their three cups 1-0, Herne Hill, Millwall and Wembley, and number 8 scored each time.
And then come 2022, we'll forget about 2018, but come 2022, that streak was broken.
Yes.
The score was correct, but it was number nine, Michael Cheek, who scored it this time.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So. But at least the score line was the same.
It was the correct score anyway.
There we go. I'd have rather it been 2-0 and not the nerves at the end.
Oh, but. I still think the thing was when they thought they'd got the equaliser, I looked at the linesman straight away and he had his flag up in the air.
Yeah.
But the two actors upstairs, along with Dave Beckham, were
They're still celebrating now, I think.
Yeah. Yes, they were going mad and all that. And then they realised it wasn't a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pain and the joy of football, eh?
I know. I think they just realised, and they were asking Dave Beckham, now, what's going wrong with Wrexham? Well, I don't really know.
Bromley, that's what's going wrong.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Yeah, what an incredible day. I mean, that lived long in everybody's memories.
Roy, it's always brilliant to have you on, and you always bring us something new and something very interesting. Yeah. Thanks again for your time.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Good interview, as ever, there with Roy. But this next one is probably my favourite one of the week.
Ever?
Ever.
Really?
It was good. Are you sure? I needed it, Matt.
Oh, I loved it. But are you sure anything ever eclipses that Callum Reynolds interview?
Oh, I don't know. That was good.
That was the best. But this guy is brilliant.
He is. He never has a bad day, this guy.
He doesn't. He just brings the mood up when he walks into the room. I can't take him seriously a lot of the time, in all honesty.
No, I can't. I was actually sat opposite him and I was smiling the whole time. I was about to laugh.
He's very expressionate. This is George Pegg we're talking about, by the way. He's very expressionate, academy tutor, occasional community coach as well, and JPL/U-section coach.
And just an all-round showman.
An all-round, showman, that is the word. That is the word. But in all seriousness, George came on to talk about his history in coaching, how he got involved here at Bromley, and all things around football. And here's what he had to say. Well, we've got something a bit different for you on Ravens Weekly today. We're delighted to be joined by one of the bigger characters here at the football club and in the academy. He absolutely loves it. If you could see his face right now.
No, I know. I don't know. I don't know where this is going.
Proper.
I don't know whether this is a mix of... I've known George for a couple of years now. I don't know whether this is a mix of nerves and excitement. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's George Pegg, ladies and gentlemen. Academy tutor, has been a community coach as well. You've done a bit of everything coaching-wise here.
I have, Jack of all trades.
We'll come on to that a bit more in a minute. But first of all, you're an academy tutor now and you've worked your way up to that point. What does that actually mean? What's your day-to-day entail?
So, well, first of all, thank you very much for having me on. Thank you for the invite. Thank you very much for having me on. My day-to-day would basically be, so the way the academy works is you've got your year 12s, you've got your year 13s. Their timetable is split between the classrooms and the coaching outside. So with, Jamal, Waggy, Cools, Max, and then when they're in the classrooms with us, so on a Monday, let's say, we'll have the year 13s in the classroom. They'll come in from 8:30 until 11:30. That'll be their timetable. That'll be their time in the classrooms. At the same time, the year 12s are out on the pitches being coached. And then they'll have a little bit of lunch. They'll go for their lunch break and then we'll have them in. So we'll have the year 13s in from the 12 o'clock to the 2:30. And then that'll give the opportunity for the year 13s who have had their classroom in the morning to go out in the afternoon and coach in the afternoon. So, yeah, it's get a nice little break on the Wednesday, obviously, because that's game day. So, yeah, it's all right.
So your background, particularly in your earlier days here and something you've been interested in for a long time, is the actual coaching element of it.
Yes.
So how has it been from switching from Coach George to almost Mr. Pegg in the classroom? How's that switch been?
Yeah, I tell the students not to call me that.
What is it, sir?
No, not even that either.
Pegsy.
So yeah, exactly. That's one of them.
Yeah.
No, they asked me. They said it was this year as well when the year 12s came in, and they were saying, "Oh, sir, can I have my timetable?" I said, first of all, you can't call me sir because I feel like I've done something wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Like you've been approached on a telephone scam.
Exactly, yeah. Excuse me, sir. Have you been involved in a car accident? No, not again. But no, so
the coaching side of things. I completely forgot the question. I am good at this, aren't I?
This is going to be what it is.
Go on.
From when I first met you, yes. it was Coach George. Yes, you were out on the pitch. You know, you were coaching. Now you're actually, there is a difference, and I've done both. Yeah. You're teaching.
Where did the link come in? Yeah.
How's the switch over? How do you switch off from one and onto the other?
So, listen, even though they're quite different in their own right, they're very similar. With how you try and, you know, if you go into the coaching side of things, you try and engage players, but then it's the same format in the classroom. You try and engage the students and the pupils, and you try and get them interested in what you have on board and what you know, the units that they are taking and stuff, and the course basically in overall, and you want them to be engaged and actually enjoy it. Because even though we understand that they want to be here for the football, right? Bromley Football Club, you know, they want to be here for the football. They want to make first team. Every year 12 dream is to make the first team at Bromley, of course. But they also realise that they've got to do the hard work in the class. And they don't, what they realise, quite, I'd say, the start of year 13 is probably where they properly realise that it marries up, the year 12s and the year 13s, that if you don't do the hard graft in the classroom, then you won't see the pitch, you know. And they really work hard. And some, obviously, the scholars and the boys and the first year pros and stuff, they're where they are now because they worked hard in the classroom as well as hard on the pitch, you know. And attitude goes a long way. But it was funny because coming to Bromley, being here did not. It was in the plans. It was a hope, you know. Just so happened to, you know, be called when I was, I think it must have been about 8 weeks into me being at Bromley through the community and the youth section, and I got a phone call saying we got an opening. Do you fancy it? Because you voiced it enough that you want to be in the academy. I thought, okay, yeah, that'd be lovely. Come off the phone shaking, you know, to me, mum. I'm like, I think I might have an interview here, mum. So, yeah, and then go for the interview. Everything goes well. And they gave me the LSEC in Richmond, the boys. So basically that is the boys that will do their education over Bromley College. But still with the partnership of Bromley College with Bromley Football Academy as well. And done that for a year. And it was coming to the end of the year and I thought, these boys, even though it's coming to the back end of it and I could see all the scholars on this side of the, you know, of the fence going, they're in the classes and stuff and these boys are on the pitches about half an hour earlier than they should be. I said, boys, what's going on with your course and stuff? Oh, yeah, no, we're basically passed. So I thought, oh, something fishy here. So I phoned their tutors. I said, is all the boys up to date? And they said, no. So I was like, okay, cool.
Caught red-handed.
Literally, yeah. So I was like, right, you know what, I'm going to stop training. I'm going to go over Bromley College. And for about 6 weeks, we, you know, was in the classrooms and we were doing all the, we were basically getting them passed. And, you know, I was sort of helping out the other tutor, the college tutors and stuff and being a bit of a nuisance because I was over there. And they were like, oh, not you again, you know. But yeah, majority of the boys passed and I was like, oh, I like this. I fancy a bit of that, to be fair. So got a taste for it, asked Tom Beaumont and he went, you sure? I said, yeah, I'd love to. Like, you know, I really want to get my teeth into teaching and was given the opportunity and yeah, haven't looked back.
And what's it like working in the academy? Obviously, you're joined by a fair few characters in there. What is it like day to day?
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I was having a chat with Jamal the other week, and it's one of those places where you just enjoy you coming into work. You wake up, and we're lucky enough to be in an environment and be in an industry where we wake up and we go, can't wait to get into work. And it might sound cliche, but when you're wrapped around the people you're wrapped around with, constantly, like every day, you see them more than your family. They become family. Now, I know that people are going to go, oh, all right, George. But, like, seriously, they do become family. And because you see them every single day and you'll be in the trenches with them and, like, you'll work hard with them. And every day you'll go, you know what? It was hard today and I am knackered, but these people I'm working with are top, like they're golden. They're blinding people to be around.
How much have they paid you to say that?
I'm trying to find like, you know, good positive things, and yeah. Like they're just, it's the truth. Do you know what I mean?
I see it.
Yeah. Listen, coming from a construction background where I was beforehand, and just by chance, we're going to get onto this, aren't we? But by chance, us two, like me, I basically said, right, I can't do construction anymore. I've just got to go. I've got to get out of here. The love wasn't there. Again, great people that I work with, but me personally, the love wasn't there. The love was football. It always has been. And then I put application in, and it was literally for like volunteer, part-time, anything. I'll be your cleaner. You know, Salute's got that locked down though, so I can't take that away from him.
He runs a tight ship.
He does. But yeah, and basically, you know, Matt, you got back to me. And I remember you getting back to me on a Friday saying, you'll give me a call. And I was like, right, I'll give me a call. And then you emailed me saying, busy. And I thought, yeah, no, weekends, football and all that sort of stuff. I'll give you a call Monday. And all right. So I went into that weekend thinking, I'm just going to leave. On the Monday morning, 8 o'clock, I handed in my resignation. At like half past 10, I get a phone call from Matt. And he's like, I don't know what your current situation is. I went, funny enough, Matt, I've just resigned. And he went, oh, brilliant. Okay. And it sort of went from there. And it was, you know, you think about like, you know, timings and things are meant to happen for a reason and stuff. I truly think that, you know, this is going to be the cringiest podcast ever, isn't it?
I think it's brilliant.
It's good.
Listeners, viewers, I do apologise. I'm saying.
As a football fan, who do you support? Who were your heroes growing up?
I support Arsenal.
Oh, I knew you could say that.
I support Arsenal. I was born in 95, so I'm 28. So I sort of got the back end of, I say the back end of George Graham. George Graham left when I was born. But like, I got the start of the Arsene Wenger era. But it was the back end of like the solid players coming to the end of like their careers. And even the players that were coming in with a bit of flair, they were still hard. So I sort of like, you know, those players, Tony Adams, the Ray Parlers, Thierry Henry's, you know, Bergkamp, Lundberg, Pires. Yeah,
we like Dennis Bergkamp here.
Yeah, yeah. He's lovely, isn't he? He's lovely.
Absolute top man.
He's quality. But yeah, so obviously that, for me, the Arsenal team of that sort of era were a different class. Obviously it helped that they were winning. It hasn't been, it's been quite challenging as an Arsenal fan for the last God knows how long, but they've been playing really well like recently. Hope. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of, yeah, it's brilliant to watch.
I'm going to hand this next bit to Matt.
Oh, go on.
So you can talk about your journey through the Community Trust.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I remember that phone call actually, and I remember chatting to you and you coming down.
Mm.
When you walked into the place for the first time, had you ever been here at that point? What did you think?
I had been. I'd been here for a couple of FA Cup matches in the previous couple of years, I think it was. And I think it was a year before the FA Trophy final. I went to that game. And walking in, I was like, oh, it could be quite real here. And I'm looking around going, oh, it looks the part. But that weren't even half of what it was going to be over the first year of me even being here. Obviously with like the building of like, you know, the academy and Broomfields and just everything else. And it was one of those. Because there was the April half-term soccer camp going on. And it just looked like a proper place, you know. It looked... It sounds so amateur when you say proper, but it just looked well run.
Professional.
Professional, yeah, that's the word I've been looking for. Thanks. Cheers, mate.
That's what I'm here for.
But it just looked so professional. And it was one of those things that I've coached in previous years when I was much younger, early 20s. Nothing on the professional level was this. And, you know, it's not stopping here. And to be a part of it, yeah, you sort of want to go, I'd love to be a part. I just hang on the coattails of that. It's amazing. you know.
Well, you came in and you made a big impact in the community side. How do you reflect on your time? You still dip your toes in when you can.
I can't keep away.
You're very busy with the academy, but obviously, you know, the appeal of the community trust is so massive, you just can't keep away.
Yeah.
But how do you find, obviously, they're two very different sides of coaching. One is you know, team orientated. You talk about your work with the youth and so on and so forth, and the academy to an extent as well. But this is, it's a very different type of coaching, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. When I first, I remember that first Saturday, like so clear. And it was just for me to shadow. But I so wanted to get involved because I was like, this looks like really good, you know, on the first team pitch and all the stations were set up. And I remember the first, it must have been like just before the kids got there and all the coaches were having a good chat and they were talking about the game beforehand. I think it must have been an England game that was going on, like an England like friendly or something. And they were having a good chat. And I was, you know, trying to jump in with like, oh yeah, no, I think he's good. And it was like being back at school again. Like, you know, first day back at school, first day, you know, of work and stuff. And I thought, oh, I really want these people to be on my side because they seem like really lovely people. God, was I right? No. No, I'm joking.
Not naming any names there.
No, of course not. But no, honestly, some really lovely people. And then... the following week, I put my first session on and obviously got some lovely feedback from yourself, which, cloud nine, straight away. And,
there we go.
That's, you know, the effect he has.
I know, it's brilliant. And then you sort of go, right, I'm going into the summer and there's a lot of talk about summer camps. Like, if I get a few days here, I'll be lucky, I'll be well in. And then I did, and I was like, oh, okay, this is brilliant. And then every day, it was like, do you want another day? I'd love one, yeah, go on, throw it in. So I'm doing another day, another day, another day. It's building. Not only that, it's building the rapport with the other coaches, which is brilliant because now I've got some amazing friends. Dan Bentley, who does comms with you, Jess Ainsworth. Like,
they're all good people.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Brilliant, brilliant coaches. Josh Tennick, like, brilliant guys. You can have a right laugh of them, but then when you're coaching, you're all sort of going, right, there's 100 kids here. This could be carnage. But then all of you would like, yeah, dig in and help each other out and stuff. But the one thing that I always sort of dipped back into when I was a kid and growing up, it was always, I remember that coach's name and I remember what that coach, and I remember, you know, what I was like and the surroundings and the environment and stuff. And being at the community, I wanted to be that coach. So I was like, okay, might act a bit of a silly sausage for, you know, 6 hours a day during the summer camps or for 3 hours on a Saturday morning, but that kid's going to remember it. And those are the golden years, in my opinion, because you might be absolutely shattered from a Friday night out or have, you know, a really long week at work and have to do a Saturday morning 2-3 hour session that will go through the age groups, but that kid is there for 1 hour. Now that 1 hour will be the most important hour of that kid's week, you know, because he's been at school and yeah, he's had a bit of fun. But when you get a little bit older, all he wants to do is play football. So when he's getting to the 10s and the 11s, probably a little bit younger as well, you want to make that kid's week. Or the summer camps, he's going to have a really good summer. He's going to go back into school and he's going to be like boasting about it. He's going to be talking to his mates. He's going to be absolutely buzzing just because he's got, oh yeah, Coach George and Coach Dan and Coach Jess and the... he's going to talk about his coaches. Oh yeah, I met Bill and I met Ted and I met so and so. And do you know what I mean? So yeah, it's a great way of like the kids making friends, and then obviously word of mouth and talking to all their pals at school and stuff. And it's built, and it's brilliant to see how much it has built over the couple of years that I've been here and stuff. But like you say, I can't keep away just because it's brilliant. And you feel a little bit famous as well.
Because when you do.
Do you know what I mean? When you go back and like, oh, Coach George back. Oh, there lovely. I'm like, yeah, all right, guys, how are we doing?
A bit of a celeb now. He will be available to sign autographs at the end of this recording.
But yeah, I mean, the other day for the England women's game, England versus Spain, was down in Broomfield. And I'm walking through and I see the group I'm going to be with. So I'm like walking through, said hello. And the next thing, someone's just hit me. I was like, turn around. It was like 6-year-old James. He's like, Coach George, you here for the game? I'm like, yeah, mate, yeah. I am, yeah. And then come through, it's like another tap. I'm like, all right, kid. Yeah,
nothing beats that feeling, does it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know you're doing something right.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely, you know. Yeah, they're buzzing when they leave. they have a good time when they're here. And, you know, you and the other coaches are the reason why. So, what's, you know, not in a big-headed way, but if they've enjoyed it, then you're doing something right. And, yes, that's the main thing for me.
That's, sorry, just...
No, please. Go on.
I remember a video that I took of you, and there was this little kid, do you remember?
Go on.
When he came in, and for some reason, he had that song stuck in his head.
Oh, my God, remember that Saturday morning?
And he was like, I was setting up the camera. Yes. Yeah, he was like singing his heart out, and then you joined him. And there's a video that I took of YouTube, just like dancing and singing around the pitch.
Yeah, but that's
it's
the thing.
It's like Rick Astley or something.
That's it. Never going to give you up.
He's got a very good voice. He's available for performances.
But yeah, no, that was that's what I mean. You know, you act like a right silly sod. Like, and these kids are like, oh yeah, it's great. Like, he's off his rocker, like properly off his head. But you know, you just have a good time with them. Obviously, I've got to stop doing it when I'm around adults.
Well, that's the cut-off point,
you know. But it's been a blinding experience for the last couple of years. It really has, because I always say to everyone, where I am now is going to be so cliche, so cringe, honestly. But where I am now, obviously, wouldn't have been for if you didn't pick up the phone or humour me with a phone call or an email or things for you to give me the chance out of everyone here. I mean, I've had some amazing opportunities given by some great people. But, if it weren't for you, obviously, I've got a lot to thank. And I've always said this as well, haven't I?
You have, to be fair.
Yeah,
I'm blushing again.
I know. See, I'll go red as well. My mouth is so dry. No,
you're starting to, your lips starting to quiver a bit.
Don't, honestly. I can feel myself getting choked up. But no, I've got a lot of thanks, got a lot of love. But,
Well, you've been brilliant. You've been absolutely brilliant. And it's great to have you in, and it's great to see how you've grown as well as a coach and developed your career and actually followed something that you're passionate about.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really pleased for the journey that you've been on. And it was great to be the gatekeeper, if you like, to open that door for you.
And then
you've just taken it from there. And it's great, like I said, to have you still involved with the community stuff when you can do it. And I hope that will continue because you're a big part of that group. Just one more thing. We've talked a lot about the past and how you've got here. What does the future look like for you? What do you hope for?
Future? To still be employed after this podcast, to be fair. I think I might. I've given everyone
a
nice G up, haven't I?
Looking through the door.
Are they looking through? To be fair, listen, one thing I've completely, and a couple of areas that I've completely forgotten to talk about, which are huge for me, is the under-16s Kent girls section that our coach, and now the under-14s JPL girls that I coach, they're fantastic. One thing that when you boys invited me onto this, I was like, I've got to rave about them because they're fantastic groups of girls who, you know, absolutely love what they're doing. It's like coming here and playing football and playing for Bromley, and it's great. The parents are lovely, but when you can see, you go from coaching 4 to 5 year olds and they're buzzing, and then they go home after 1 hour, and then you see these girls play season after season and achieve and develop as players and get better and go to JPL places in other teams or with us or go to academies. We've got a few from my under 16s in the academy now, or they go to the equivalent or higher. It's brilliant. So, like, you can see that you're doing a job worthwhile, and you can see their development, which, again, so cliche, but that's why you do it. If I can continue doing that, I'm happy. And obviously, you know, keep tutoring at, continue to tutor at Bromley. It's brilliant. And it's one of those that you sort of, the opportunities that you get given. And there have been loads in the past that I've sort of half taken, not really taken properly. But coming here, it's like you get given an opportunity, you can do it properly. Because there's a lot of good people around you. You don't want to let them down, but you don't want to let yourself down. And also now you're responsible for students, you're responsible for players and, you know, futures and stuff. And that I'm very grateful for. So obviously you want to make the most of it and, yeah, do well.
Well, I could sit here and talk all night about this. It's been brilliant to have you on, George. I'm sure you'll agree, Josh. You've offered something really unique and very, very different. And I think it's important people listening hear from people behind the scenes like yourself and, you know, about the work that you do and what goes on here. But thank you so much for coming on. And we'll definitely be having you back on at some point.
Thank you very much.
If you'll have us, of course.
Oh, no, 100%. Honestly, if you can make this a regular gig, but talk about something that's not like going to be a tearjerker.
I think you've got the ability to be the host.
I think you could make a regular thing of this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are we talking salaries or?
I think we'll have to stop recording at this point and carry on this conversation.
All right, no worries. Hey, listen, I'll dip in. I'll dip in whenever you need me, honestly.
Okay, it's a deal.
I've enjoyed this.
It's a deal. We've enjoyed it.
I don't want it to end.
Well, I don't know about Josh. But
I've got to go out and coach now, but I don't want it to end.
There we go.
George doesn't even
sorry,
know.
Sorry, players. You just have to coach yourselves today.
George doesn't even know. I forgot to press record.
Oh no! We got to do this again.
Yeah.
Oh, blinding! I'll tell the girls training.
George is just going to go and tell the team now.
No, thank you guys. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for your time, and we'll hear from you again soon. Definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a really, really good interview, and I hope everyone has listened.
Yeah, I hope everyone's enjoyed that because
up to this bit, so.
I think it's really important people hear from those that may not be in the limelight, you know, people that are behind the scenes, and that actually a lot of work goes on here. There are a lot of different departments and different areas that revolve around the Bromley Football Club name, if you like, and the academy is a huge part of them. And George Pegg has come in, done a great job as a community coach, and then gone on to do that. And, you know, he still, as we say, dips his toe in the community work as and when we need him. And it's just great to have him on the podcast and for him to be able to tell his story. And of course, the little shout out for me was a winner.
I did the same though, didn't I?
I messaged a winner.
You, didn't I?
You did actually. You did.
And did you know, this is just complete coincidence, that my first ever time in this ground was 4 years ago yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. 2019?
Yeah.
Before COVID then?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I wasn't there during the COVID year, but I was there before.
You were, yes. That's right. And then you came back. See, look, put it this way. You message me, things happen, right?
He makes dreams come true.
Progress. I'm a dream weaver, right?
I left everything for this place because of Matt.
There we go. And now, look, now we're sat opposite each other on this podcast table.
Yeah.
And look, we're living the dream. We're living the dream.
Well, to be fair, Matt, I used to listen to this podcast.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
During my time on my work experience.
And you just realised how much you missed it here.
I felt like I needed to fix it.
Well, I think that says a lot there, Josh. But in all seriousness, no, it's been great. It's been great to have you on here and to use this professional setup that we use now. We don't take it for granted. It's a fantastic setup. We are delighted to be able to use it as a platform to bring you Ravens Weekly and to be able to bring you all the news and updates and voices from inside the club. And we really appreciate all of your support. And somewhere else we're going to need your support is over the next week. Of course, we've already talked about Solihull and the away match there on Saturday. We've then got back-to-back home games as we welcome Eastleigh here to the Relocatum Community Stadium on Tuesday the 26th of September. That's a 7:45 kickoff. And then Gateshead are the visitors on Saturday the 30th. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff. And the good news is you can get your tickets for that one online at bromleyfc.co.uk. or by popping here to the stadium on a weekday between the hours of 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. if you'd prefer to get your tickets in person. You can, of course, get them on the day, but prices do rise by £2 as of midnight the night before. Josh, thank you for joining me, as ever.
No problem. Actually, thank you for joining me.
Oh, there we go, Josh. There we go. It's the mutual respect there. That's podcast respect right there.
Even though it is your show. So
that is podcast respect. Well, maybe, but it's you who edits it, so you could edit all of this out.
No, do you know what? You may not know, but I actually edit all of your bits, cut it down so fine that people think that you're not actually in it.
So most of what I say isn't even broadcast.
No, it's cut.
Right. On that note,
if anyone thinks this is a lot, it's double this.
On that note, thanks everyone for listening. It's time to end. See you next week. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.